in the theme that I've been dealing with over the last month on building up the family. We're three teachings into it, and we have three more. So God willing, today will be our fourth. And then the next two Sundays, I'll finish up on this theme. In a sense, what I'm doing is kind of like, you ever go by a construction site, drive by, and the different trades, they're called trades, different kinds of contractors, foundation, framers, HVAC, roofers, you know, sheetrock. In a sense, if that is a picture, I'm trying to put pieces and hook them all together about what it means to build up your family. We're in such a day where people tear down marriages, homes, and destruction everywhere. So it's really been on my heart to have this time, to have these sessions, and to really focus in on more of a teaching equipping, less on preaching. So far we've dealt with three aspects of building up the family. Let me just hit the high spot. Some of you have not heard any of these. But number one was to build up your marriage. Don't think you're going to have a great family life if you don't have a great marriage. That's just the facts. You must, beloved, both husband and wife, working towards a God-exalting and joyful life together. Our marriages should be full of joy. For Christians, we have the grace of God. We have to cultivate that. And you remember I talked on three aspects of building up your marriage. You should build up faith together, believing God, looking to God, hoping in God. You should build up fellowship, your joint heirs in the faith. Jesus Christ is your common joy and life, and you ought to fellowship together in Him. And you should build up friendship together. Friendship, being in love, being close, cultivating that. So that was building up your marriage. Second, the man. The man is a builder. What does the man do to build up his family? Obviously, it starts with his wife, but if he has children, what is his role? Well, first, and I dealt with four aspects of this, the man should build up his family through leadership in serving God. As for he and his house, we will serve the Lord. Second, the man he guards his family. We talked about a watchman on the looking out, guarding the city. He's a watchman for his family. The man is also an authority. He sets the boundaries and he enforces those. Children should know the boundaries, the standards of their home. And he enforces those. Obviously, his wife is a part of that. And then fourthly, the man is a builder in that he teaches in daily life. He's teaching his sons and his daughters on the things of God. So the man. Third, the woman is a builder. The woman, her role in ministry within the family. And I dealt with four aspects of this. She is to have or give herself to relationships of love. It says in Timothy chapter 2, love your husband, love your children. She cultivates that love in the home. Second, she guides the home. There's that phrase, she's a keeper of the home. She guides things. She organizes things. She's effective in what she does in her home. She's resourceful. That's the third thing. She was resourceful and industrious in how she manages things. We talked about that in different aspects from the book of Proverbs, that a godly woman is resourceful. And fourthly, she has a joyful disposition. By the grace of God, don't we all want that? A joyful disposition to be full of joy. I have found just in relationships of purchasing things, being in stores, that if you have joy or you express kindness to the person working there, call them by name, look at their name badge, sometimes all of a sudden it's almost like they go, nobody does that to me. So joyful disposition as a Christian, a woman, she should be growing in that. That's the way she builds up the home. So those are those three areas. Those particularly the man and the woman, deal with the individual role, the specific role of the man, the specific role of the woman. And these are vital to a strong family. These are a part of building the structure that's going to last, that God builds in the family. But now I want to look at parents as builders. Parents. Now it's you together, man and woman, husband and wife. Parents as builders. Let me say from the outset, you have to work together to build up the family. You've got to be in it together. There's a lot of work. Very few times will you ever see a guy out there framing a house by himself. It's not the way you do it. You got to have somebody helping. And so in parenting, you are in this together. You must work together. You have to, as a husband and a wife, talk, share, think, set the standards, love your children, train your children, work with them. And so it's a constant teamwork. And you have to have a committed heart to be a parent that builds up your children. Brothers, you've got to see it for the long haul, what you're into for the long haul. A lot of you men now have young children. And you wives, you women, what it takes. You don't want to burn out. You want to keep going. You want to press on. You want to live out these things. So I'm hopeful that God is giving truth that will help you this week and in 5 years from now and 20 years from now. There's things that will help you. Just like Dr. Ira Campbell 20-something years ago coming to Denton and sitting with the men and sharing in a Saturday morning on Thunderbird at Mac and Linda's house. It was life-changing for me. I'll never forget that time. Big things that were helpful to me. So, parents as builders. I like this. I had one of these daily readings my dad gave me, and Charles Stanley is one of the men in it on calendar pages. Listen to this quote by Brother Stanley. The power of consistent Christian living in the context of family relationships is the primary spiritual classroom for authentic Christianity. A spiritual classroom? Power of Christian living, the power of God in your life in the context of family relationships is the primary spiritual classroom for authentic Christianity. Now that's pretty powerful. That's pretty accurate, isn't it? How we Christians live as a man, as a wife, as in our home with our children, it is the spiritual classroom they are most around. So, parenting, I want to talk about it today from a biblical perspective. I want to ask, what has in the past or is today shaping your biggest priorities for parenting? That's a big question. You could go all over the place, couldn't you? If we just paused and went around the room, what shapes your views? You know, some of you say, well, the way my parents did this, or when I was a young adult, you know, I was around people and they begin to really shape my views, some books I've read, whatever. But what, think about that. I want you to rethink about that today. If you go into a bookstore and you ask them, where's the section on parenting? Be ready. There's going to be a lot of stuff there. You may say, this many books on parenting? Now, either there's a lot of good ideas out there or there's a lot of questions out there that nobody's gotten to the answer of, because you don't really need that many books, frankly. See, if you want to find books, you have to be discerning. I'm not against them at all. I used to read back in the early or probably mid to late 80s. I would read some of Dr. Dobson's book, Dr. James Dobson. I remember reading two or three of them. And we read Fugate's book on To Train Up a Child or something like that. And they're good. There's good resources out there. I'm not against that at all. But ultimately, brethren, there is one timeless book to guide parenting. It's right here. And we do well to go back and to absorb or let the Word of God get hold of us and let it be the guide for parenting. It's not dated at all. Dr. Dobson's books are kind of dated now. He might laugh. You know what I mean by that. But this is not dated. This just doesn't get dated. The Word of God is quick, right? It's powerful. It's active. It's alive. So, I know it would be possible for me today to create a list of do's and don'ts in parenting. It would be tempting. All of us in different places we're at, you would have those that you would want to list. But you know what? That's not what I want to do today. I don't want to go through a list of do's and don'ts. Because what I might do if I went there is I might fail to get to what I consider to be the pillar truths on this topic. And this is, I honestly, at this point in my life, at 51 years old, 4 grown children, 2 young children in the home now, and possibly 2 more being added this week to our home. If somebody says, what do I need to be about? Philip, what do you need to be about? I think today I'm going to give myself to what I think we ought to be about. So I'm not going to go into a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm going to go to 2 main pillars because I don't want to get too far into personal opinions. And that's what a list could do. And I love hearing other men's personal preferences and things they've done. They're helpful. They're insightful. But they're not authoritative necessarily. What we're going to talk about today has authority because it comes from the Word of God. I want us, men, women, dads, moms, I want us to see the main things that God commands us to be about. So today, two pillar truths. Essentially, the big front of the building is going to be held up by two main pillars as it relates to parenting. And then I would like to close with a very brief exhortation on how to continue in those two pillar truths. So two pillars. First, give your children the legacy of God. I want you to think about this. Give your children, if somebody gets right down to the essence of, as a Christian perspective and as a Christian individual, what do I do with my sons and daughters? Where are foundational pillar truths? Give your children the legacy of God, the reality of God. Now this is life affecting all the time when you really apply this. This means that the glory of God, that's the central theme of all of Scripture, is God's glory. He puts His glory on display. His Son came for the glory of God. The resurrection's for the glory of God. Our salvation is for the glory of God. So make the glory of God central to all of life. That your children grow up thinking of God. The greatness of God. His existence. Your children get grounded in the existence of God. They go off into life and schools and wherever they go. The debate of whether God even exists is a joke. He is. He's always been and He will forever be. His existence, His character, the qualities of who God is, His works, His judgments. Those are fearful when you learn those. The judgments of God. But His love, His kindness, His grace to save sinners. The legacy of God. Beloved, this is radical in our society today. The centrality of God. I said to Krista that you see weather reports. We talk about the weather today. And we talk about God in the weather. And I said to her last night, we were watching the weather and they showed all those radars that the rain had gone through. And I said to her, never said anything about God, did they? Nothing. They just don't talk about God. So it's radical in our society to speak of the greatness or the legacy of God. Sadly, much of Christendom doesn't get this. I thought about this at 12 or 14 or whatever. God was kind of big on Sundays. Stay with me. He was kind of big on Sundays. But God checked out Monday through Saturday. I'm being honest. The people I were around didn't talk about God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We didn't read the Scriptures. We didn't talk about those. We didn't sing those songs. Coaches didn't talk about Him. English teachers didn't talk about Him. Most of the guys at school didn't talk about Him. I had some Christian friends, but you get my point. The legacy of God. Dad, Mom, be a parent that constantly speaks to your children about God. Pass on His legacy. His reality. His greatness. You might be thinking, Philip, what do you really mean by His legacy? It's kind of a strange way to put it. Well, let me emphasize what I think that means, the legacy of God. I want to deal with it in two pieces. First, His works, His deeds. This gets very tangible. The legacy of God is knowing and teaching and applying what He's done in history. Oh, this begins to shape everything. It begins to shape our views of the elections coming up this fall. You get hold of this kind of stuff. It gets our views of Operation Rescue, 1980s. Do you really block abortion clinics? Do you become violent? I'm just using these as illustrations. But when you talk about God and His works, then He shapes everything. His works. Christian parents are to tell their children the great works of God. You cannot hold back. You cannot be small in this area. The great works of God. It's all throughout Scripture. Speak on it. Tell your children. Remind your children. Inform your children. Put the truth of God to shape their lives. Deuteronomy is full of this. Where are we in Deuteronomy? Oh, it's just another one of those Old Testament books. I don't know what's going on there. It's the story of God separating out a people. They sin, they fall. Noah is rescued. Eventually, we get to the covenant promise with Abraham and his sons, and it goes down, and Joseph goes to Egypt. The Pharaohs forget about Joseph. Moses comes. They're delivered. Now they're going to go to the promised land. What are you going to do in the promised land? Over and over, God says, you're going to remember all that I've done, and you're going to tell your children. That's what you're going to do. You're going to talk. You're going to tell them my commands, my statutes, my judgments, all that I did. It's over and over in the book of Deuteronomy. God commands them, Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, don't forget the things which thine eyes have seen, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons, your grandchildren. What a special thing. You not only just get to tell your children the great works of God, you get to tell your grandchildren. Tell them what God has done. That's the point. His works, His deeds. Later on in the book of Deuteronomy, few chapters over, and then further into the book. And when your son asks you, this is out of Deuteronomy 6, when your son or your son and daughters ask thee in time to come, and they say, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, to your children, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And he goes on. And he did this, and he did this, and he did this. You see the principle? The principle is, teach your children the works of God. Now, before you start thinking, you know, but Philip, we got to teach them to spell, and they got to learn how to handle money, and they got to get a driver's license, and they got to learn how to pick clothes that are appropriate. Those things will take care of them. We'll get to those things in other days. Right now, we're laying the pillars. Because if the truth of God and the reality of God is central to the way they grow up, it shapes their whole view of why I'm here and what I'm to be about. It's absolutely central. This is radical. It was radical for Oprah. She never touches it. She can't touch it. She didn't have eyes to see this. It's radical. If I went to the Republican convention and I said, give me 30 minutes and I want to talk to America, we're going to talk about the legacy of God, it would be radical. The airwaves would light up. People would be absolutely panicked. They wouldn't know what this guy's talking about. But in our homes and with the legacy of God, we have to pass this on to our children, what God has done. Parents, you are to tell your children the works of God in the Bible. That's where we're talking, right? You are to tell them the works of God in the Bible. God commands me and you sisters, all of us, He commands us to take this word and tell the children, teach it to them. What He's done. Yes, in raising your sons and daughters, your children should know about Noah. And they should know about Abraham. And they should know about Sarah. And they should know about Joseph. They should know about Moses. They should know about David and Solomon. They should know about Esther. They should know about Ruth. They should know about Elijah and Elisha. They should know about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They should know these things. They should know about John the Baptist. They should know about Peter, Stephen, Paul the Apostle, John the Apostle. You get my point? And hundreds of others. Our children should know these great works of God. David and these men of God and what God did in their life. Think of it, beloved. Think of what it does to their thinking. You young people, there's young people here today. Hear me out. If you don't know all of these names I just read off to you, get to know them. Ask your parents to teach you more of them. The great men and women through the ages, because they're all about the works of God. It's a big, glorious plan, redemptive plan that God has orchestrated in all of humanity. It's the biggest reality. It blows the mind. It's so glorious. I love that quote, just a simple quote the other day. We saw it on that one of these videos about the national parks, and somebody said, you know what, when you really get down to it, to go see something grand and big is much more moving and powerful than to go see what men built. What a way. So my comment to that is, to behold the grandeur of God in His works through the ages is so much bigger than Shakespeare and Steve Jobs and Babe Ruth and all of that. You don't want them to waste their brains full of all these trivial things. Some of that's valuable. Some of that can be harnessed for good things. But you get my point? What did God do with Esther? What did God do with Ruth? What did God do with Job? Beloved, this is a way to establish a God-centered view of everything in history, which is not what the public schools or the universities are doing. A God-centered view of everything in history. So the Scriptures, teach your children the works of God. It activates reality about the things of God right now, this day, in this town, in this building, doesn't it? God's at work. But it doesn't stop there. We're talking about the legacy of God. You continue to pass on the legacy. It didn't just stop at the book of Revelation, right? We keep going. The work of God's redemptive plan in history. What else was going on in Shakespeare's time frame? What was that guy thinking about? I've told y'all, when I went through architecture school, one of the most phenomenal classes and challenging was the history of architecture, the history of civilization. Slides and pictures from books. And unbelievable. We'd sit in a big auditorium and boom, big slides, taking notes, handouts and all. You're watching the whole timeline. You know what? God wasn't in the timeline. He wasn't in the timeline. The British, what they do, a big opening ceremony at the Olympics, right? And they showed the history and they showed literature and things. I heard about it. Didn't see. I saw just a segment of it. Was the glory of God or the works of God in Great Britain, were they shown? Or in the European countries? No, I don't, not that I know of. But we don't stop. We don't just get to the end of the book as though this is a history book and we put it up. Tell your children the legacy of God that continues. Tell them about God's people through the history. Augustine. What did Augustine, where does he fit into timeline? How about Luther, Martin Luther, Reformation, John Calvin, Reformation, William Tyndale. When Mac was doing an overview of Tyndale a few weeks back, I was overwhelmed. I began to cry. I began to be overwhelmed how God used William Tyndale. We owe so much of everything that we have to his life. What he gave us. What he lived for. Unbelievable. History just throws it out. And God gave us men like that. And Wycliffe and John Bunyan and Jonathan Edwards and John Newton and William Wilberforce and John G. Payton and Charles Spurgeon and Martin Lloyd-Jones, and on and on and on. You get it? Don't stop. You got to keep telling your children the legacy of God. It's awesome. It's overwhelming. It's glorious. It tells them, make your life count. Walk with God. My biggest goal with my grandchildren is ultimately to invest all that I can in them about the things of God. But it doesn't stop there. In some ways, that's all outside your structure, right? All the stories of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, on and on and on. David and Abraham. And Luther and Calvin. What about your home? Keep going with the legacy of God, beloved. You tell them about the works of God in your life. I like to tell stories. Maybe too much, too often. But I like to share things. And sometimes when Jesse and I are out working or doing things, or maybe we're in the house, I will bring up a story. And I'll go back and reflect. But what I like to do, ultimately, in speaking of those things, is I like to tie in, how did God have mercy on my folly? How did God have mercy in growing me? It could be something from when I was in my 20s or in my 30s. It could be anywhere, but speak of the works of God in your life. Your children need to hear it, beloved. They need to hear it. Your children should hear you say, son, listen to what God did in my life when I was 16 years old. They need to hear you talk about that. You realize how powerful this is? That the great God in the book of Genesis who spoke to Noah is the great God for their dad and their mom. Think of that. The God of eternal glory. The God who is from beginning to end, eternal in the heavens, ruling over everything. He rules over their dad and their mom's life. He rules over when they were born, who they are, the color of their eyes, how tall they will be. So speak into your children's life. What a way to give them a glorious, sovereign God who reigns. He's active, right? He's active. I'm going to have to move on. There's a lot. I've got to move quicker. So, the legacy of God, part one of the legacy of God, is His works, His deeds. What He's done. Bible, through history, to a dad and mom. Second aspect, His words. Give them the legacy of God and what He's said, His words, and His commands. God requires things from human beings. Otherwise, there's no reason to preach Christ crucified. God commands all men to do what? Repent. We need to tell our children the words and commands of God. It's central to raising children. Now you can start getting the God who is demands things of them. Okay? This is fundamental to parenting. What God tells them and tells their dad and their mom to do, to be. Wow. Words of warning. God gives words of warning. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? What does it say, Brother Ron? There it is. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Every boy at Strickland Junior High, that's a junior high in this town if you don't know that, every young man at Strickland Junior High needs that first and foremost in their life. Without a question. Without a question. In the economy of God and in the Word of God, they need that more than anything. It'll keep them off drugs. It'll keep them from getting STDs. It'll keep them from wrecking their life and wrecking everybody else's life they're around. So God gives words of warning, of truth. God gives words. What is truth? Oh, what is truth? I don't know. Do you know what truth is? I do. It's Jesus Christ, for He is the truth. But you see, we're in a society, we kind of laugh. I don't mean to be comical. I just mean, that's the day we're in. What is truth? And God gives words of truth. He gives words of life. Come to me that you might have life. Jesus Christ, I give you life, and I give you abundant life. Right? So give them the words, the commands of God. Back to Deuteronomy. This is back to that. When your sons ask you, what's the meaning? Listen to what he says. Then you shall say this to your son. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. To fear the Lord our God for our good always. There's an intended purpose. That He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. So when your sons and your daughters ask, and you give them the history of God, you give them the legacy of God, the deeds of God, you also give them the warnings of God. Children, don't do that. Son, don't do that. Daughter, don't do that. Stay away from that. This is what God says. Don't be deceived. Don't go there. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go with them. Don't linger long at the strong drink and all these other warnings. The foolish woman, the harlot, the cheap woman, the things that are out there that ruin you. Stay away. It's throughout the Scriptures. Give them the words and commands of God. Deuteronomy 31. Gather the people together, men and women and children. And it jumps down. That they may hear and they may learn and fear the Lord your God and listen and observe to do all the words of this law or of His commands. By doing this, it becomes truth, commands, life boundaries that aren't yours. They're not mine. They're not Max. They weren't Spurgeon's. And they're nobody else. They're God's. Because God gives us the right way for life. We live in a society that wants to be so clever. Heck, God really said that? You've got to be kidding. You really believe that? But when we hold it and we love it and we live by it, it sets the standard. That's what we're trying to see our children get hold of. Everything that God says is good for me. So parents, the duty of shaping your children's worldview and their principle of right and wrong rests with you. Everybody get that? The principles. Are domestic partners okay? Boy, that's a big one in the USA today, isn't it? Man, that's a big deal today. It's not a complicated subject from this. We know that. That angers people because it calls this authority into question. None of us are promoting, starting with me, hating anybody. I need, as I've said often from right here, I need more love for people at every level of society. And I know that. And by the grace of God, He's teaching me that. But there are decisions, there are things, there are lifestyle choices that are very clearly spoken against in Scripture. They're not complicated. Society that wants to be free in its thinking makes it complicated. But the principle of right and wrong is for you, Dad, and you, Mom, to set in your children's life because of the commands of God. It is not the responsibility of their friends. It is not the responsibility of chat lines. It is not the responsibility of the internet to shape their principles of right and wrong. And it is not the responsibility or the place of pop culture to shape what's right and wrong. Living together outside of marriage is wrong. Always have been, always will be. Period. That's just the way God designed it. Marriage is sacred. Love and faithfulness is precious and right and God-honoring. After that, beware the judgment of God. I'm just being honest. Being honest, that's a subject today that has been so diluted since I was younger. I mean, the hippies really went off the edge in the 60s, and I was a little bit younger. But they've just passed on to their kids no boundaries. I mean, it's just incredible. So it's not the responsibility of friends and the internet and pop culture. It's yours and mine, ours. Our children are a gift from God, and we are the stewards of their upbringing. And it goes quick. It moves quick. Life goes quickly. Decisions come. Hard things come. People in society, seeing things, being around things, the music at the grocery store, at the restaurant, the message is against them. It's against them. One of the absolute horrific fruits of a technological age is how much wickedness and evil can be shattered or splattered on everybody all the time. You can just, it's so accessible. It's horrible. His words, His commands. Jesus said, a wise man builds his house upon the rock. But what was He referring to? He that heareth My words and does them or keeps them is like the wise man that builds his house on the rock. Things come, struggles, battles, storms, and the house stands because what has been spoken in the Word of God stands. Now, I want us to also think about this. When you sow the commands and the words of God into your sons and daughters, it puts a consciousness in them of the absolute certain danger of sin, that they're not going to skirt it, if you will. The certain danger of sin is what you want your children. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We talked about that earlier. There is a reality that in the words and commands of God, it trains your children's consciousness of what sin is and what God demands. You want them to have that. You want them to be afraid and stay away from sin. Sometimes when you hear a politician wax eloquent and they say, I think the most important thing for our children is this, I oftentimes think you didn't get to the main thing. The most important thing for children is to be delivered from sin by the power of Jesus Christ and to be avoiding sin by the power of God in their life. So if you put the commands of God in your children, you heighten their consciousness. I like to call it's an alarm system in their thinking. An alarm system. Teenage boys, 14, 15, 16, 17, they need a lot of alarms to warn them. Okay? They need a lot. Because they're in an evil, evil society that has horrible images and messages coming all the time. So parents, you know the truth. You know the truth of the Scriptures and the things that can destroy your children. So tell them. Don't hold back. Tell your children, God says this. Son, don't do that. Don't do that. My dear, precious daughter, don't do that. Instruct them in God's commands. His works and His commands. What He demands of us. God intends for you to be the greatest voice in shaping their lives. One of the benefits of being a parent is your children grow up, but they can't get away of what you sowed into their life. For good, and sometimes for bad. I think often of what my dad and mom, things they taught me growing up. And God intends us, as parents, to be the greatest voice. And ultimately, we are speaking from the greatest voice into their lives. So pillar number one, give your children the legacy of God. I know that's probably enormous right there. We could stop right there. Pillar number one in parenting, the legacy of God, His works through history, and His commands and His actions today. God is alive. God is moving. God is not passive. He never has been, never will be. That's pillar number one. How about the second pillar? Nurture your children in the ways or in the man, Jesus Christ. Wow. The glory of God in His Son. I'm at the point now, by the grace of God, that if I get to see great design accomplishments for men or travel the world or see things in history and all, none of it ultimately has really that big of an effect on me. Because to know the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to know Him, that He's come and made Himself known, nothing equal to that. Nothing. Nurture your children in the ways or in the man, Jesus Christ. Give them Jesus Christ. This means that you are to set before them Jesus Christ as the preeminent one for them to love and for them to follow. And this is obviously almost the flip side of God, the legacy of God. Well, the legacy of God ultimately is most marvelously put on display in His Son. So as you speak of God the Father, we train Him and nurture Him in the Son, Jesus Christ. He's the preeminent one. Love Him. Love Him. More than anything, follow Him. Set your course on Him. Read what He said. Follow what He commanded. Be with His people. Sing His songs. Read the history of His work in people. You get it? It just goes on and on and on. Because Jesus Christ, you're nurturing your children. Everything else they chase without Him is ultimately superficial and vain. I don't mean you want to hurt your children, but if your children grow up in the nurturing and the truth of Jesus Christ, they ought to know if they reject it and they go on and become one of the greatest bankers in the 21st century, it's vanity. They ought to know that. Because that could be the very grace of God to bring them to finally say, I don't have anything if I don't have Jesus Christ. You don't want to have your children chase things that are futile. So nurture your children in the ways of Jesus Christ. Paul addressed this, didn't he, in Ephesians chapter 6. He's getting to these roles in the home, husbands, wives. And Paul says, fathers, provoke not your children under wrath, but here's what: bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. By implication, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring them up. Fathers, mothers, bring them up. The word nurture means to tutor them, to train them, to correct them, to always let Him be the one you're focused on, Jesus Christ. Train them in Him. I like to mention this every now and then for those of you who've never heard it. Have you ever heard what John Popper said to a 15-year-old son when the 15-year-old son didn't want to do spelling. I still think it's one of the most incredible 2 minutes of oratory answer I have ever heard in my life. That if you're tutoring your children in the man or in the ways of Jesus Christ, what does spelling have to do with that? That's kind of the point that he was getting at. And he had to tell his son, spelling is about communication. And God and Jesus Christ are the great communicators. Language, words, meaning, truth. You'll have to hear it. It's just incredible. That's nurturing your children in the ways of Jesus Christ. Science and physics and mathematics and architecture and engineering, English and language. Ultimately, all of these are part of the human experience, which is ultimately aimed at knowing God, knowing Christ, walking with Him. Language is not His own thing. Language is given of God. Words matter. So train your children in Christ. It's to be done in the Lord. In Him, about Him, around Him, through Him. The whole focus is to be grounded in Christ. In parenting. What He said, meaning His Word, His redemption, His kingdom. I realize at this point, CNN and all the other major networks, they've not only left the room, they've packed up. They're miles down the road from where I am to right now. I know that. Because unless you've been awakened unto life and you have the grace of the Holy Spirit, these things sound futile to you. But for the Christian, they are absolutely essential. This is what we live. This is the reality of the Christian life. Sometimes you ought to turn to your children before you have a really good meal and say, children, you realize Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus said that. Charles Hodge made this statement. It will not do for parents to present themselves as the ultimate end. Christ is the ultimate end, right? We just have the children for a very brief season. So fathers and mothers, give your children a Christ-centered foundation. I mean, lay the foundation. We're already talked about God and the legacy of God. And now we're talking about the man, Jesus Christ. This is where the New Testament explodes, right? With the centrality of Christ. He is the foundation. Give them a biblical foundation on what He came to accomplish so that they can say to a college professor one day, Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's the Son of God. That's what He is. And He lives forever. Okay, Muhammad's tomb has still got a skeleton or whatever remains in it. Jesus Christ is empty. Minor detail, right? God, the foundational truths, who He is, what He came to accomplish. His atonement. What does the atonement mean? What is a blood sacrifice, fulfilling all the law of God, laying down His life? What does all that mean? Our children should be nurtured in this. Nurture them in the ways of Jesus Christ. What about the things that He taught? I said to a man 15 years older to me one time at work, it doesn't hurt to look. You know my answer? I was about a 30-year-old guy. Jesus says it does. The eye should be guarded. I tell you that if you look upon, you know the rest of it. Jesus, what He taught, He gave words of life. Our children should be nurtured in these things. They ought to be thinking, what did Jesus Christ say? The bracelet's not enough. The bracelet is trite. It's shallow, if I can be perfectly honest. This is what has authority. What would Jesus do? Read what He did. Do what He said. Walk in His ways. I don't have to be a part of a local church. I can just be a Christian going my own way. Really? Where did Jesus say that? Where does the Bible say that? You see, there's such basic decisions that people are making, including those in Christendom, and they're missing it. They have not been nurtured in the ways of Jesus Christ. Michael Durham wonderfully taught us several years back. You reject the church. You reject His bride. You just reject Him. He's not just interested in your solo Christianity. We're in this together. We're marching to Zion. We're in this thing together. So our children need to know that. Catechism. Jeff, Tommy, y'all still use the catechism? If you don't have a catechism from two, for anybody, the little ones all the way up, get you one. We'll get you one. Who am I? Who made me? On and on and on. What's the chief end of God? You see, nurturing our children in the ways of Jesus Christ is so life-affecting, life-permeating. Here's the key. Our sons and our daughters should know that what Jesus said takes authority. It is the authority. It is the authority. So that if they get to points in their life where they want to make decisions that are going to wreck their lives, that they understand at face value, straight up, that Jesus Christ said, that will cost you. And it might cost you your life. I have a friend who's on the city council in this town. He's already lost a son. It was tragic, sad. We know, you know people who've lost children. None of us want to lose a child, a grandchild. None of us want to lose a child because carelessness or whatever. It's real. This is life-affecting. Alcoholism, STDs, all of this stuff is real. Drug abuse, fornication, on and on. It will wreck their lives. Jesus has authority. He speaks to us on any subject. Well, Brother Philip, what about money? Well, he spoke about money. Store not up for yourself treasures on earth. Be careful. Warn your sons and your daughters. Let Jesus Christ be the authority. It is good for us to quote the words of Jesus as we instruct our children in everyday life, isn't it? We need it. We need the words of life, wonderful words of life. We need to quote these. We need to tell our children. I need to tell my children. I need to tell my grandchildren. It's a part of our responsibility. Ultimately, your children should know that Christ is the head of the home. He's the one to be loved. He's the one to be served. He's the one to be honored. And so they should see this lived out in you and I. Dad and Mom, if He's the head of the home, then what He says goes. What decisions we make, where we go, where we spend money, what we're going to take in, what we're going to stay away from. When Jabin was a boy, things I would try to do with him and decisions I would make and trying to guard him at different ages. And then the daughters, seeing the girls grow up and Chris's and my labor for them and trying to protect them and working with Jesse and Michaela and instructing your children and dealing with all these things of life. Jesus Christ is the authority. We want to honor Him. We want to please Him. He's worthy of everything. And I understand it takes the grace of God to quicken life in them. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about just training and nurturing children all the way up that the gospel, ultimately the good news of Jesus Christ, is central to everything that they hear. So they should realize that the priorities and the standards of their family are based upon Jesus Christ as Lord. Dad, it starts with you. Fathers, it starts with us. That the priorities and the standards of our family, there are specifications are written for structures to be built. Not every piece of lumber or steel that you ship to build a structure is acceptable. Follow the metaphor here. If they don't meet the spec, it gets rejected. Contractors make money and cheat people because they know how to buy unquality or lack of quality materials. Wait a minute here. That lumber doesn't meet the specifications. That roofing, that piping, that concrete mix doesn't meet specifications. My point is the standards, the rules, the specifications of how you live, Dad, how you live, Mom, are based upon the glory and the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, this is radical. It shouldn't be. And it actually gets played out in everyday conversations with your sons and daughters, doesn't it? Little things. Driving in the car, being as a family, etc. And they will have questions. Miss Linda knows that. Our children have questions at 4 and 6 and 12 and 16. Your children will have questions, and sometimes they are gut-wrenching questions. I just gave you one snippet of John Piper speaking about spelling, the importance of spelling, to a 15-year-old athlete. But the questions will come, and the questions have to be answered. And sometimes you'll say, I need to think about that more. But most of the time, the questions are going to be fundamental things that your children are going to bring up. They're going to ask you about world events. We're talking about nurturing your children in the man or in the ways of Jesus Christ. World events. How should they view that? I was on an airplane years ago with a guy right after the A&M bonfire tragedy. What, 13 people killed? Or I forgot what it was. World events. We have to know how to speak. Have a compassion for people. How to speak. We have to help our children. They struggle. I struggled. You struggled. World events. Politics. Children today may say, I'm just tired of all politics. Well, politics is about government. Government's about nations. Nations are about boundaries. Nations are about power and laws. And so, you know, politics can't just go away. Okay? It can't. It's not like another box cereal you can just take off the shelf. You got to talk to your kids about politics. You got to, what is government? You have to help your children. Sports. We're such a sports overload society, but sports can be a way of teaching. They can present an opportunity. The vanity of men. Some men or women that are holy and do honor God. David Robinson used to play for the San Antonio Spurs. Anybody heard of him? Oh, I used to love to hear quotes by him. I think he pastors. He does outreach work in San Antonio. He was just, Jabe and I used to talk about him. We still talk about him. History. Questions, gut-wrenching questions, history, short-term, long-term. What was JFK about? Oh, he was just a great leader. Well, you might want to give him a little bit more than that. Send him over to my house. I'll share a little bit more with them about it. But you get the point. Your kids ask questions. Who was Marilyn Monroe? You may have a 14-year-old someday ask you that. Who was Ozzy Osbourne, or is Ozzy Osbourne? Or Alice Cooper? Any of you live long enough, you know these are not... Kids ask questions. They grapple with things. They have to be helped. Nurture them in the ways of Jesus Christ. Bring the gospel to bear. Movies, music, sexuality, divorce, marriage, careers, money. You see where I'm going? If somebody had sat through this, miserable, in the back of the room, and I finally get it, they'd say, well, at least now you're talking about something that's lived out daily. Yeah, I'm talking about something that gets lived out daily. If God's eternal in the heavens and rules over all things, I think that's daily. The realization that God is and He's in control and He's ruling and He has something to say on these topics. God has something to say about marriage, divorce, music. He does. Jesus Christ speaks words of life. So be ready. Be ready, Dad. Be ready, Mom. You want to have the glory of Christ integrated throughout the journey of parenting. I'll just give you a practical piece of advice. Get a little Bible of some sort and get it in your car. You may be in the car with a child and all of a sudden a topic comes up. I'll say, Jess, open my glove box. Let's get that out. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. Let's look what Jesus said, or the book of Ephesians, or the book of Romans. You see, integrate it. Live it. Breathe it. Walk in it. So pillar number two, nurture your children in the ways or in the man, Jesus Christ. Two pillars. The legacy of God, nurture your children in Jesus Christ. Let me close with giving a loving exhortation on this to both of you, you fathers and you mothers. Let me give this summary exhortation. You must work together with a united approach. Okay? You have to. You've got to be in this totally together in a united mindset. We're in this together. It's so fundamental to this implementing parenting that will build up your children and give them these truths. Sow these into their lives. Trusting the grace of God to quicken or make them a Christian. To regenerate them. Bring them to life. Give them the life of Christ. Set them on the path of the kingdom of God. You can't do it going different ways. You have to, I use this word at the beginning, together. You've got to do this together. It's not just Dad carrying out his responsibility. Or it's not just mom doing the spiritual training. There's a lot of guys I grew up with going to church, and their mom would bring them to church. Where's your dad? He's at the lake. He's sitting at home watching football. Well, I don't see that here. I'm not implying that. My exhortation is that we're in this together. We want to be united. We want to work through these things together. We want to implement together. If you homeschool, if you don't homeschool, what materials you buy, what books you read, what music you have, why you watch a movie, what do you talk about, what do you learn about? All you got to be together. You got to work together. Isn't this practical? But dad's in his role, mom's in her role, one mission, one plan that you're focused on. You've got to, because it gets lived out in the littlest, smallest events of everyday life. Nurturing your children and teaching children takes both Christian parents in their unique role. So dads, rise up. Moms, rise up. Continue. Be builders. But it takes both of you training and nurturing children. Oh, it takes both of you. Sometimes, dad, you need mom to help on this one. Sometimes moms need dad to help on this. But it's all about the same game plan. Where you're going. What's your objective? And each of you have a unique place. So, beloved, press on. Don't be discouraged. Keep going. Keep working together. Give them the legacy of God. Speak them to them on the man and the ways of Jesus Christ. Let the Bible be the guide. Let it be the rule book, the standard for all of life. Let them see life and all the things that come based upon a Christian or a God-centered worldview, redemptive in the redemption that's in Christ. Labor for this, that they would understand where are the answers, who has the truth. God does. Let me close with this wonderful quote by the late Martin Lloyd-Jones. We should give our children the impression that the most wonderful thing in the world is Christianity. And that there is nothing in life comparable to being a Christian. The most wonderful thing in the world is Christianity, and that there is nothing in life comparable to being a Christian. God help us. Let's do that very thing by the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father of glory in eternity and ruling Father of all, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that parenting is a part of your design in humanity. The giving of husband to wife and children that come is a part of your design that you have given your Word to help us. You've told us what to teach our sons and daughters, what to remind them of. You've told us where to instruct them in your words, in your commands, in your requirements for them. You've told us to nurture them in your Son, to admonish them and nurture them in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. Oftentimes we feel weak. Sometimes we go through stretches. We just feel like, Lord, we're not nearly where we want to be, but Lord, today we say your ways are right, your truth is sufficient, your Spirit with us is the power we need and the help to love our sons, to love our daughters, to love our children, to train them and nurture them, to give them the glory of God central in our home. We want to live it as men. We want to live it as women, that it's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a book. It's not just something out of history. It's alive. You're alive. He that hath the Son hath life. Oh, Lord Jesus, you said you've come that we might have life and life more abundantly. You are the one that we want to live for. You're the one that we want to keep central in our parenting. Help us, Lord. Thank you for children. Oh, God, thank you for grandchildren. They're yours. May we be faithful in it for your glory. Amen.